interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National earthquake.
First time, we are bringing you the full story of what happened. We are giving you all the evidence, based only on the secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Hey, here's a weird one from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Police say a suspected carjacker is on the run there, but his most distinguishing feature is not a tattoo or a scar. It's a pacifier. This guy is always sucking on a pacifier. Therefore, police have dubbed him the Binky Bandit. And they say he is alleged to have robbed and carjacked a victim Friday night in front of a business parking lot. The surveillance tape taken near the area shows him, quote, sucking hard on a pacifier, end quote. Now, they say it looks really ridiculous, but police want to remind everybody that, you know, this guy is wanted for a felony. And they also go on to say that it's something that we don't see very often. And it may seem childish. However, it's not uncommon for hallucinogenic drug users to keep pacifiers in their mouths to keep them from grinding their teeth. So this guy, he stole a 1997 Grand Prix. Highfalutin, this guy. And, of course, I myself, since I am not a father, I didn't even know what they meant at first by Binky Bandit. I had to ask around. Do you know, Sam, what Binky is?
Well, yeah, I have nieces and nephews.
Okay. I avoid children as much as possible. Well, hey, thank you all for joining us tonight. What a program we have for you this evening. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. And yes, you've heard his voice resonating on the airwaves already. Producer Sam, the Animal Steel. Well, you are a real guy. I thought you could have been like Max Headroom that was just generated in cyberspace.
Yes. No, it's odd. This is the first time we've done Speaking of Strange.
It is. Well, years ago, at one point, I was in here hosting one evening, and you came in and sat in and spent at least the dark 30 hour with us.
Mm-hmm.
So you have participated in the show, but this is our first broadcast since I have returned from Puerto Rico, where we are sitting here in the flesh, face to face.
Fully nude.
Well, yes, but not for long, because
I brought a little gift for you that I'm going to give you, and it is a wearable item.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, Shelly, I didn't bring anything for you tonight, but you've been to Puerto Rico before, so...
Yes, what's your point?
Maybe I'll have something for you.
We're friends. You didn't bring me anything?
Well, you know, my luggage was just jam-packed, and I was going to get charged extra, and I had to pick or choose one or the other.
I am worth an extra luggage fee.
Well, Sam, after you see what I brought him, you might be happy that I didn't bring you anything.
Uh-huh.
I'm not the best picker of gifts. And now, Investigator Shelley Wright, you have been to Puerto Rico twice now.
Three times? Yes.
Three times, lady.
My goodness. I didn't even realize it had been three times.
Mm-hmm.
So now three times you've been, and Sam has never been there. So Sam.
Never been.
You asked me to bring you back a little, some kind of a taste of the island.
Mm-hmm.
But you said you thought maybe a shirt would be fitting.
A mesh tank top.
And, well, I know you said that, and I didn't really find, well, let me
he
put it really this way.
He really meant it.
I saw this, and now mind you, I, when I'm in Puerto Rico, live in a little fishing and beach village there called Boca Rum.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's super nice. They like to party. They like to have a good time. There's also a big gay parade that takes place there once a year. So there's a very flamboyant
founder
flair.
And president you are.
So I thought maybe you would find that this captures some of the spirit and the essence.
Of the islands.
Yeah, of that part of the island.
For the listeners at home, I am now opening
the
bag. It's very soft, I feel.
It's
it might
very
be a binky.
Now stand up and give that a good gander. Now,
wow, that takes...
Now, for the folks at home,
yeah.
it's similar to a mesh tank top. It's a cotton weave. It's almost like a tank sweater vest.
Yeah.
It's peachish in color and hue,
mm-hmm.
with an anchor on it, like anchors away, my boys.
Right.
Anchors away. In the Navy, perhaps.
Very much so.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. At the break, at the intermission, I'll put this on. And
I want to see that draped over your 6'6" form.
You will see it before the night is over.
I want to see it
friend.
Hanging off of that masculine physique.
We'll post a picture on the website.
Yes,
the Facebook page.
Let's do that. Yeah. And, well, you know, that is...
Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, thank because you. That's not something you would just walk right into a store and pick up down there.
No.
I had to keep an eye out for a while. and finally one day I was like, boom! That's it.
It's very soft. I'm looking forward to rocking it.
Yes, it looks very soft.
Can I confess something, Sam? I did slip it on my own naked chest just to see how it felt.
Has it been dry cleaned?
And it felt so great. I thought, man, I might need to keep this. So it's very comfy if you have what it takes to wear it in public.
I do.
I think you might have that. So good, Sam. There's a little taste of the tropics for you. And, of course, it's getting a little nippy out there now these days because, well, it's that time of year. It's already October. And, of course, October is our favorite time of year here, mainly because of Halloween. And so we do what we kind of consider special Halloween editions of Speaking of Strange, meaning that as we get closer to Halloween, we do stuff that's more and more kind of culturally rich, and we play like horror movie music, and I read poems and stories and stuff like that. But we ease our way into it. So tonight, I do have a couple of things that I want to share with you that I think are honestly really unnerving, and one of them is downright scary. One of them is so scary that I'm going to have to give a warning out and say some of you should not listen to this.
Is it about a puppy?
No, but there will be an announcement about puppies again soon. And it might make you cry. So we are going to dig into some material that is not necessarily Halloween-y fun. It's kind of Halloween-y creepy and dark and weird, but I figured we'd get that out of the way early in October so we can get more and more fun as we get closer to Halloween.
As we get closer to Halloween, are your ghost tours booked up?
Yes, it is insane. The tours are already being booked in advance online. We're selling out. And I myself am going to personally lead just 5 Haunted Asheville walking tours this October. And when I do it, it's an experience. Because I'm not there to say, okay, I've set aside 2 hours, we're going to do this, and then I have, you know, to go home and, you know, feed the kids or something. No. You hang out with me, I say, set aside the whole rest of your night. We don't know what could happen. This could go anywhere. Maybe it'll last 2 hours. Maybe it'll last 4 hours. Maybe we'll go get drunk somewhere.
You'll bungee off of Helen's Bridge.
It's possible. At the end, we always go back to the museum in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple, and you get to see goodies. And let me tell you guys something. I have brought back 3 things from Puerto Rico, 3 new additions.
Can I guess what one of them is?
I would like for you to do so, because I'm going to break that news tonight on the show.
I have an idea from a prior show.
Okay.
I recall in this Swiss cheese brain of mine, I recall little bits and pieces of information.
Take a guess.
Crystal skull.
That's one of them.
Bam.
Yep. That's one.
Bam.
But this is a very special
Hitler monkey?
Christie skull. It's a very, very special type of crystal skull. Yeah, but that's one of the 3. I'll tell everybody what the other 2 are. And one of them, when I tell you, you're just going to be like, this cannot be real, because that's what I said when I first heard about this, and I have intentionally not told you guys about it. That belongs in the museum.
This shirt should be hanging.
Yeah, we should have a dummy of Sam, our first wax figure. It would last about a week. Sometimes it gets so hot down there, everything starts to melt.
It does.
So your wax figure
would look like House of Wax.
You're taking your clothes off.
But yes, go to hauntedasheville.com and don't mess around and wait too long. You can book online right now and you'll get to have some fun with me in person. And hey, if you can't make the dates when I'm hosting the tours, well, then you can go with some other, fine hand selected guides who will ensure you have a wonderful experience. But when we come back from this break coming up soon here, I'll tell you what I brought back for the museum. Also, hour number 2 tonight, we're going to have Mobius call in and tell us a couple stories that blew my mind. Because I know that I mentioned we're going to talk about some spooky Halloween-y stuff, but he has had some wishing machine experiences that are just mind-boggling. Mobius has such a scientific, technical mind that he struggled believing that the wishing machine could work at all. And Mobius and I have been friends for many, many years, and we lay all of our cards right on the table. And if he just doesn't, you know what to think about something I'm involved with, he'll tell me. And yet he got a wishing machine, and wait till you hear what he was able to manifest with this machine. Amazing. And I've got a ton of other interesting news. In fact, I was really excited to see this new story. The world is going to change very dramatically, and it costs less than $100 because some scientists, 2 of them at the University of Rochester in New York, have done it. They have created a real life invisibility cloak. This is potentially scary stuff. I'll tell you about it when we come back. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, the downright weird. Keeping you company tonight, and it's presented by Wright's Coin Shop. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual, called Speaking of Strange.
Your blue man, that's
Blue Ridge Mountains, Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, the Wizard of Weird, and this is Speaking of Strange, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And as a matter of fact, if you go to speakingofstrange.com, you will find a link to Wright's Coin Shop, the family business of Miss Investigator Shelley Wright, and you can also call them at 828-298-5402, 828-298-5402. And it is not too early to start thinking about Christmas. Yes, it'll be here before you know it. We'll talk to Shelley a little bit more about that later in the show. So I was saying before the break, and by the way, Sam, you are now wearing the Puerto Rican shirt that I brought back for you, and I tell you, it is you, man. It's you.
I am. For the folks at home, I'm now wearing said peach-colored sweater tank top.
Very sexy, yes.
It is very comfy.
Yes.
With nothing but a big anchor on the front, pointing the way down to the fun trip.
Fellas, down here.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. And see, now... you will have to go to Puerto Rico, and that'll be your passport right there.
I just, in my head, I imagine this is like, you know, like the dashiki of Puerto Rico. It's like the tribal wear.
Yeah.
Does everybody wear one of these?
And you look very tough with all your tattoos. Do you mind if I talk about your tattoos a little bit? I had no idea until you disrobed that you actually have the Bates Motel tattooed on your right shoulder. Talk about a Halloween-themed program. What's the story there?
You know, I usually think of a tattoo in my head for several years, you know. The impulse is there. It's like spur of the moment when I get it, but I've thought of it for 5-6 years. Mm-hmm. I've got one in my head now. If I ever get money, I know what the next big one's going to be.
Yeah.
But it's been planned out for like a decade, you know. But this was just like I love, you know, Hitchcock and Psycho and, you know, we all go a little mad sometimes, Josh.
Yes, we do. Well, it's pretty awesome. I mean, that's some detailed artwork. Was that done in Asheville?
Yeah. Derek at Ace of Spades.
Cool.
And he did a good job on the shading, and they see a little light on Mother's Room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am always just astounded by tattoo artists. The fact that not only they can do that, but do it on human flesh.
You mess up.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a lot of pressure. Well, that's very cool. So, you see, you're the kind of guy who needs to be wearing a shirt like that. not so much. All right. So, yes, the Halloween season is upon us. And I have three things that I have brought back. I'm building the display cases right now. And I'm hoping that we'll have them in the museum by this Saturday when I host the first of my 5 tours. And, by the way, if you come on one of these tours with me, you're also going to get to participate in a special Halloween photo shoot with me. We're going to have a little area that says Happy Halloween with cobwebs and stuff. So you can, I'm sure that's just thrilling for all of you. And then,
it's like getting your picture made with Santa.
Yeah. And then I may also throw in some other little surprises. But here are the three things that I'm bringing back. And I'm only going to tell you so much about them right now because I want to make sure I have all the facts straight. And I haven't written up the display board yet. But basically, I'm always doing experiments in Puerto Rico at the Bermuda Triangle Research Base. And one of our benefactors is a person who travels the world investigating odd stuff. And this benefactor was, in another country, basically, and found this big, amazing crystal alien skull. So it's not like a human-looking skull. It's like an elongated alien skull. It's made of quartz crystal. And so this was donated to me, and I took this crystal skull to all these different hot spots around the Bermuda Triangle and let it sun.
The gas stations?
Whatever, yeah. And sometimes they're pretty mysterious. And let it absorb the fields of the area and charge up. And after doing this, I realized that I can now pull this crystal skull out and show it to certain people, and they're like, whoa, they won't even get near it because they say that there's some kind of a force field around it that it kind of blows their circuits. It's too powerful. So eventually I'm going to tell everybody where it came from. But for now, the benefactor would prefer it stay private, so that will be temporarily on display in the museum. The second thing I have a really good friend in Puerto Rico who is a Santero. And you know him, Shelley, and you know he's a very serious guy. He spent decades studying and being initiated into some of the areas that most people are never given access to. And he is a fantastic artist. His name is David Longley, and he donated to the museum this, like, 3-foot-long ornate wand that he had created, and it has a very special purpose in the Ifa religion.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a real work of art. It's one of the nicest things that will be in the museum. So that'll be on display in a nice big case. But here's the third thing. Now get a load of this. This is... Okay. I have a buddy in Puerto Rico. I don't want to use his name without his permission, but he's always out there wheeling and dealing, and, like, he knows everybody and he knows everything about the island. He called me up one day, and he goes, "Hey, Josh, I have something for you, probably for your museum." I said, "Oh, yeah? What's that?" He goes, "It's a chupacabra head." I said, "What are you talking about?" "Yeah, it's a head. The guy says it's a chupacabra." Turns out there is this part of Puerto Rico. It's not far from the Ojunque rainforest, where recently there has been a flap of the chupacabra being sighted. Also, you know, various creatures ending up with their blood sucked and all that kind of stuff that goes along with the chupacabra lore. And just recently, right in the heart of that area, some kids went into, like, a basement or a crawl space area, and they found the remains of this dead animal.
Now, if I'm correct, the chupacabra is the hybrid, like, wolf. It's like a canine-looking beast that...
Well, you know, I'm glad
blood.
You asked that question, because there is a lot of misunderstanding about the chupacabra. Originally, the chupacabra was a creature seen exclusively in Puerto Rico that actually looked more like an alien. It was about 4 feet tall. It stood upright bipedally, big black eyes, sort of spikes or spines going down its back, and had kind of like a little hunched body with claw-like little arms. And if someone were unlucky enough to walk up on this thing and be scared silly, often the chupacabra would actually develop this weird kind of swirling energy field around it and then fly away into the sky like some kind of an interdimensional or alien-type being. However, because the chupacabra was named the chupacabra, which is, it just means goat sucker, and that name was actually coined by a comedian in 1995 in Puerto Rico, when in other locations around the world, livestock and other creatures end up drained of blood, and people see these kind of odd-looking little canine creatures around, they have often kind of misapplied that term. So that now when you say chupacabra and you're in, say, the American Southwest, you're on Texas or Arizona or New Mexico, usually they're talking about things that could be mangy coyotes or some kind of deformed raccoons. I mean, nobody is sure. These seem to be freaky little examples of a species. So we're coming up on a break. When we come back, I will tell you what this chupacabra head looks like. And
Gary Shandling.
And then I will tell you how you can see all these things. And that's the wondrous thing about what I do is, you know, there are other companies that will give you a ghost tour downtown. What we do, these are the oldest and the original and the largest and the best. But you're not going to find anybody else who also has a museum. And we include that where you get to see all this stuff.
Or Troop Copperhead.
Where else do you find that anywhere? Okay, I'll tell you more about that when we come back, and I want to get to this invisibility story as well. Really cool. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.
Holding me fast, how can I escape this irresistible grasp? Can't keep my eyes from the circling sky. Tongue tied and twisted. Just an earthbound
Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should go walking in these spooky old woods alone. Oh! What big eyes you have, the kind of eyes that drive horse mad. So just to see that you don't get chased, I think I ought to walk with you far away. What full lips you have, they're sure to lure someone bad. So until you get to grandma's place, I think you ought with me and be safe. I'm gonna keep my sheet suit on till I'm sure that you've been shown that I can be trusted walking with you alone. Oh, Little Red Riding Hood, I'd like to hold you if I could, but you might think I'm a big bad wolf, so I won't. What a big heart I have, the better to love you with. Little Red Riding Hood, even bad wolves can be good. I'll try to keep satisfied just to walk close by your side. Maybe you'll see things my way before we get to grandma's place.
Well, the leaves are getting crisp. There's often a hint of wood smoke in the air. Pumpkins are beginning to appear. Rubber bats are dangling from shelves at the store. It's Halloween time. And, you know, this is one of the places here in Western North Carolina, especially in Asheville, where everybody really digs Halloween. I know there are going to be a lot of crazy parties, a lot of special punch being drunk. And that's why we hope that the rest of this month you'll be sure to tune in on Saturday nights to hear some interesting Halloween-y content here on Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this show is presented by Wright's Coin Shop. And you may call Wright's Coin Shop at 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. This year, October 31st is going to be on a Friday. Do people ever go trick-or-treating at Wright's Coin Shop, Shelley?
No, they don't.
Really?
I don't think I've ever seen any. I may be the only one in costume.
Oh, so you at least wear a costume to work.
I usually do.
Well, we're going to try to start a tradition this year of trick-or-treating and seeing Shelley's costume.
I hear they pass out bullion.
Yeah,
instead
that's good
candy.
News, huh?
Yeah.
You have quite a lineup there outside the door. So, okay, I told you my friend says, I've got a chupacabra head. And I said, all right, meet me at a bar. So he comes walking in with this black bag and hands it over to me. And I opened it up and reached inside, and I pulled out this vicious-looking skull. With, like, big fangs. I mean, a really intimidating, like, fierce-looking creature's head.
Do you have a photo of it?
You know, I was thinking about that, and I amazingly don't think I have photographed it. It just, I've had it in my possession. I just haven't, you know, I haven't talked about it to anybody else, so it wasn't like I had to illustrate it. So, no, I don't have a photo on me, but if you go to the museum, meaning you take one of our Haunted Asheville tours, well, you'll get to see a chupacabra head, and you can judge for yourself what this thing may be. I pulled it out and showed it to my mom and dad. They flipped out. My mom said, oh, that is not a dog. It's not a cat. It's not a this. I mean, she goes down the list. And my dad said, you need to have that thing DNA tested, man. So I don't know. I look forward to you guys giving me your opinions. Okay, now here is an interesting story, and there is a lot happening right now, technologically speaking. And from time to time, some kind of a story comes out about some breakthrough that's made with invisibility. But it's always like big splashy headline, and then you start reading the content of the story, and it's not that big of a deal. It's like, we can make a spot the size of an atom clear now or something, right? Well, this is the real deal. This is a new story. This particular version is from Fox News. And the headline is, new invisibility cloak device can hide almost anything. Hats off to scientists at the University of Rochester in New York who have managed to produce a cheap invisibility cloak effect using readily available materials and a lot of clever thinking. Through a combination of optical lenses, any object that passes behind a certain line of sight can be made to disappear from view. Now, let me pause to say that I have seen pictures of this where a guy is holding what looks like a ring in his hand. And obviously, there's some object there that should be blocking that space. But you can see right behind it. You can see what's there. It's truly invisible. And when I read this, at first I thought, well, this must be some kind of a computer system where they're taking something that's behind the object and projecting it in front of it. But no, this is, from what I can tell, a completely optical effect using lenses, just lenses, which is why it's so simple. The Rochester cloak, as it's being dubbed, uses a simplified four-lens system that essentially bends light around any objects you put in the middle. You're able to see the area in the background as normal, but not the item in the foreground. According to its inventors, it can be scaled up to use things of any size. And the team responsible for the setup has used standard off-the-shelf hardware. Also, it's really interesting that when they're talking to these scientists about, you know, why this is so important, listen to this quote. One of the doctoral students there, Joseph Choi, said, quote, from what we know, this is the first cloaking device that provides three-dimensional, continuously multi-directional cloaking, end quote. And he goes on to say, I imagine this could be used to cloak a trailer on the back of a semi-truck so the driver can see directly behind him, or it can be used for surgery, or in the military, or interior design and art. And I was thinking to myself, like, wow, if you can see through the trailer, I hope that it doesn't work both ways, right? Because it'd be easy to rear end the truck if you can't see the trailer and you're behind
it. How does that work if it's a moving object, I wonder?
They apparently think it's going to be just fine, that it's a passive series of lenses.
Where would the four lenses be mounted in relation to, I mean, who's it invisible to? The person who's operating it, or the person who's viewing it theoretically from a certain angle? Or,
well, plus they said continuously multi-directional cloaking, so that makes you really think, like, yeah, how vast are the variables here in the perspective? So when they have taken a patent out on this, of course, so that's why for now they're not being extremely clear about how it works, but apparently it's all above board, and they say that once the patent has gone to the proper state, they are going to release instructions on how you can make your own Rochester cloak at home for less than $100.
What kind of lenses can you even buy for less than $100? Well, I'm thinking.
These guys must be really smart. So I'll be right there. If I don't make one myself, I will hire you to make it for me, Sam. You seem like a good, crafty guy. You can build that.
I've been performing the Rochester cloak for years. I got a leg up in this game.
Well, you know what the creepy part about that is? You know how they always say military technology is at least 20 years ahead of the mainstream public?
Flur. forward-looking infrared, you know, is now coming around to the private sector.
Mm-hmm. Well, therefore, it makes you think that if this is so simple, then there's a good chance the military has known about this for a long time, and there really are invisible agents that walk around and snoop on us, invisible men.
You would think there would have to be some sort of power pack or something, like a turn-on switch, like so when it was turned on and the current flowed, then it would become invisible. I just don't see how you're just walking around with lenses that are constantly moving.
Well, there's going to be this window of time before the legislation catches up where the technology is going to be released, it's unregulated, and criminals are just going to, boom, just flood into the streets and steal everything because they're going to be invisible.
Except there'll be a flaw. It'll crash.
I think it's a passive scenario that doesn't require a power supply. We're going to just say, here you go, Tom, Dick, and Harry, you're invisible now. Have fun.
It'll turn into a huge real-life Porky's movie.
I don't know how far this can go, but there's got to be some period of time there where this can be abused big time. So it could be one of the life-changing events. So you better hurry up, get yours, make it go out, and steal some stuff.
Unless you're wearing Google Glass, in which case then you can see through the invisibility cloak. See? Everybody's mocking the Google Glass. But
yeah.
Maybe, like, if you have those on, it's like They Live or something.
I love that movie. But I don't
darn
know.
Fine movie.
It's possible even Google Glass cannot overcome the genius of the invisibility cloak.
The Rochester cloak.
You're going to have a little, like, sonar device that bounces off of physical structures. Okay, now, I mentioned that there are a lot of big things happening technologically. Well, to top things off, when we come back, maybe at least a couple more stories to share with you. One of them, Stephen Hawking, is now, he's ticking some people off in the scientific world because he's come out and said, guys, I've run the numbers on this, and this experimentation you're doing there at CERN, it could destroy the universe.
The Hadron Collider?
Yeah. And the God particle. We're going to tell you what he's saying about this. And secondly, here's a story saying new DNA study shows that humans at one point in time bred with an unknown species. Yeah. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And this is Speaking of Strange.
They only come a tan about twice a year.
And we are in the final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. I am Joshua P. Warren, and next hour, since this is one of our Halloween editions easing into the season, I do have a couple of disturbing stories I'm going to read to you. One of them is really disturbing and true, by the way, both of them. One of them I've read on this show before. The other one I have not. I think I'm going to have to save the second one until we're a little later, a little bit closer to Dark 30. But it won't be all creepy and spooky because Mr. Mobius is also going to join us, and he is going to tell us about an amazing thing that happened to him with the wishing machine. And I've just been waiting for him to have the opportunity to share this with you. But here are these stories that I think are really interesting. Stephen Hawking has a new book out called Starmus, and in this, he apparently has written that the so-called God particle could become unstable and cause a, quote, catastrophic vacuum decay, end quote, that would lead to the collapse of space and time. He wrote, and no, I'm not going to impersonate him, the Higgs potential has the worrisome feature that it might become metastable at energies above 100 billion giga electron volts. This could mean that the universe could undergo catastrophic vacuum decay with a bubble of the true vacuum expanding at the speed of light. This could happen at any time and we wouldn't see it coming, end quote. Now, I know that probably didn't make sense to anybody out there, but essentially, when you're looking at, say, like the Large Hadron Collider there at CERN, where these guys are and ladies are just supercharging these particles and blasting them to pieces, he's saying that you may someday have so much energy that could be created that, it reminds me of how that when the first atomic bomb scientists were doing their tests, especially at the Trinity site, they had a bet going over whether or not when they detonated this thing, it was going to catch the atmosphere on fire and ruin all of Earth. That was a possibility, but they did it anyway. In this case, it's the same deal, but on a bigger scale. Is it possible you could create enough energy to destroy the known universe? Hawking says, well, hey, I didn't mean to freak anybody out, because he said to get a particle accelerator that could reach that amount of energy, it would have to be gigantic. It would probably have to be larger than Earth. So, but maybe not. Maybe we'll figure out a way to do it much more efficiently. But nonetheless, some people are saying you don't need to be talking about this kind of stuff. You're going to ruin funding if you create some kind of a stigma around our research. So he's backpedaling a little bit. And here's another science-related story. New DNA has revealed an incredible discovery. They say that human ancestors had a segment of DNA that does not come from any species currently known to science. This the study suggests that there was a pretty serious interbreeding between this ancient human species and the other unknown species about 30,000 years ago in Europe and Asia. Adding to the mystery is the fact that beer would not be invented for another 25,000 years. So it's not like we were drunk or anything. I guess that's a joke. So according to an evolutionary geneticist at the University College of London, he said there may have been some kind of another species living in the time in Europe and Asia there. And he says, and this is wild, quote, what it begins to suggest is we may be looking at a Lord of the Rings type world, that there were many hominid populations, end quote. And obviously, because of this story, it has certainly been pointed out that this scientific finding might match very well with some of the claims of ancient aliens. And I very much feel like there's a good possibility that, we were influenced genetically by other beings. Before we go to our break, one fast public service announcement. They say there are people who are trying to trick you on the internet and putting your cell phone into a microwave in order to charge it up quickly. That does not work.
Don't do that.
It's a good idea, but it doesn't work. In fact, they say that it could be very, very dangerous exploding that battery. So don't fall for it. We're going to take a break. When we get back, yes, hour number two of tonight's broadcasting masterpiece. I'm Joshua P. Warren. The show where the unusual becomes usual, presented by Wright's Coin Shop, and it's called Speaking of Strange.